Good afternoon and welcome to another Glenbrook podcast. My name is Shannon Conway and today I'm really happy to be joined by Fiona Deering, who is a senior lecturer at Manchester Metropolitan University. Good afternoon, Fiona.
Afternoon, Shannon. Thank you very much for inviting me along.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us. We met virtually a couple of weeks ago. When you spoke at the Women in Property Student Awards about harnessing the power of Generation Z, and there was so much positive feedback, I thought it'd make a really good podcast topic. So really glad to have you here. For sake of anyone listening at any point in time, we're just explaining what the situation is. We're still COVID-19 in the midst of that, and we're just coming out of lockdown. So where are you right now? Take it you're not at the university?
No, not actually in university. So I guess you could say I'm actually still in lockdown. Set myself up in my home study. Quite a lot of prepping and planning, as you can imagine, as being a uni lecturer. We've got lots of planning for the September intake. We never stop, really. Summer doesn't seem to happen as such in terms of work. We kind of get our leave around all the planning we're doing. I guess in terms of my research, it's really helped me to reflect a lot more. I think I've had a lot more time to think about what's been going on in the environment, and I've found some really insightful articles on how the different generations are coping with this pandemic that we're in at the moment. So busy really.
And tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background? Have you always been an academic?
I haven't, although I always dreamed of being a teacher from a young age, and I kind of got myself on a different path, and I studied accountancy. I worked in an accounting environment for a number of years, so I qualified as a chartered accountant, and I was in industry as a management accountant for going on nearly 17 years. And then I had an opportunity. I met with somebody at a party of all places, and this lady in particular was already teaching in education in higher education, and she said, "Oh, we're always looking for accountants to come and lecture." I was like, "Oh wow, that'd be really cool. I'd really love to get involved in that, but I've not got teaching qualification." And she said, "Yeah, but you could come along and you could kind of be a guest speaker," and that's where it all started, really. And I just made this massive leap of faith from having that kind of 9-to-5 management accounting role to going into teaching. And then I then sort of tapped my way through all the various qualifications that were required, and then I really found I'd you know, arrived in this place of amazing curiosity and research, and it was like, wow, I can actually go out and explore all these amazing changes in the environment, and that's what got me into teaching, really. And so now I've been with the university for 8.5 years.
Wow. And did you went over to lecture in accountancy, but the research is something that you've added on top of your lecturing possibilities, is that right?
Yeah, my background is that is my discipline, and I do reside in the business school, and but I definitely have a much more of an interest in the human resource side of accounting, the management of the business side, the strategy side, and that's really what sort of piqued my interest with the human side, you know, with how people interact in the workplace, and then, you know, just considering it from a different perspective, and that's much, to me, it's much more interesting, because I just think that it is the human resources that add so much value to your business, and so that's kind of why my research. So I did embark on a PhD study a couple of years ago that I'm midway through now, and I've definitely taken that human resource angle, bringing in the generations in the workplace.
So is that what your PhD subject is?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So I'm researching. The title keeps changing, but if you talk to any PhD student, I think you'll find that their title kind of keeps evolving as you get further and further on. But in essence, it's managing new generations in the workplace. Yes.
So as way of background, everybody loves talking about the generations and knowing what their own characteristics are and, you know, supporting or otherwise other generations. So if we just give it some context and go through the different generations really quickly. So there's the generations that are before the baby boomer, which people don't talk about so much, but they are maybe not working at the moment, but some are. So what's the sort of first generation we talk about?
Yeah, the generations, I think it's really kind of come from kind of this marketing concept where we've seen these generations, these demographics kind of labelled in these categories as such. But yeah, you're right. The first one that was talked about are known as referred to as the silent generation, a generation that were born in this environment of you know, do as you're told type of be seen and not heard. Type of you know, as a child, and like you say, these are likely not in the workplace as such, but may still be offering advisory support to some organizations, and you know, they kind of are the first ones, as you say, and then following on from them with the baby boomers. So they were the generation that came and named as post-war babies. That was where the name came from. And they're the individuals that are probably in the workplace now, quite a wide span really, but you're looking at those who are potentially looking at retiring now or may have just retired from the workplace.
Mm-hmm. And the main sort of tendencies or characteristics of those baby boomers, what would you say they are? Of course, we're generalising here. We should always say that.
I think this is the thing, though, with a lot of research, you can generalise. I mean, there has been huge data sets collated to try and come up with this evidence. And for me, it all pins around the environment that they grew up in as kind of key indicators for how it shaped them, if you like. Mm-hmm. So when you think about it, the baby boomers were born when the economy was said to be booming. So that generation is said to have this strong work ethic, you know, very much kind of powering on in the environment, in their workplace, and very much, you know, they had parents who had jobs for life. You know, if I ever talked to my grandfather, he was always, how's work? You know, it was a job for life. And so they have got this very strong work ethic because they've been brought up by that generation. But yet they also were shaped by the environment in the 60s. So they had this freedom all of a sudden, being born after the war. So that's kind of had that mixed impact on their behaviour as well. So there's huge implications from what's going on in the environment from that generation's experiences that is then kind of sort of paving the way for how their behavior is then in the workplace, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and then you Gen X, that's the next one, isn't it? Generation X. What age group does that cover?
They're funny little titles, really. I mean, who comes up with these names? I mean, you know, Generation X, really. What one article I read was that they were called the Generation X because they really didn't have much about them, so they just couldn't really decide what to call that generation, which I'm actually quite offended by because I'm actually Gen X. but they're said to be better educated. There was a lot more education available for this generation. However, having said that, this generation then, when they went into the workplace, it was all about power dressing. You know, if you think about Ally McBeal on the TV and, you know, women in power, and there was a lot more of that coming through for this generation. Mm-hmm. And they technically invented this work-life balance as well. So they were work hard, play hard generation, you know, where they obviously observed their parents who potentially both worked. So this generation are now seeing that that's the way to be. You know, they've seen both their parents in careers. And so they're going to forge their way with a career and you know, probably why I wanted to get a profession, probably why I wanted to get that qualification, because I was inspired by my parents to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we've got the millennials who got a bit of a bad rep, haven't they?
I don't know if you ever saw this, but there was a video that went viral on Facebook. It was Simon Sinek who created that video interview, literally like ripped this generation apart. Mm-hmm. You know, they were actually Generation Y because they came after X, but they were actually labelled the millennials because the majority of this cohort of individuals would be going into the workplace at the turn of the century. Mm-hmm. And that's where the millennial name came from, because sometimes people I've spoken to get a little bit confused about that label and think, oh, is it people born in 2000? But obviously it's not. It's those born kind of mid-80s. Been given a very bad rap, and actually it's really unfounded, because this generation are really resourceful. Mm-hmm. This generation have very connected. They're good at getting information quickly. They access lots of information via the internet, and they actually like to be collaborative in the workplace. They want to work together. They've experienced their education working in teams of people, also getting perhaps lots of feedback. So it's not their fault actually that they want quite a lot of feedback. And that's the thing that they've been slated for, saying that they're too kind of been mollycoddled. But you know, it's almost like we've created this generation because of the environment, because of that education they had, where they were referred to as like trophy kids, or they were always mm-hmm. having being supported and encouraged to do their best. Mm-hmm. And that kind of echoes then into the workplace, really.
I suppose it's going, they are very, I've had nothing but good experiences with millennials, by the way, and have worked in teams with millennials, and they're absolutely brilliant. And it's that collaboration and teamwork which really comes through with that generation. I think sometimes if you're dyed-in-the-wool boomer or Gen X, there's almost that feeling of, well, I started at the bottom making, cups of tea and, earned the privilege to sit in a meeting and work my way up and, sort of dragged my way up through the ranks. Why are these people expecting to be part of, the inner core straight away? And I think that's where that tension maybe, or that, I know that difficulties may become, it's a different expectation of the workplace, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes there is a little bit of envy, perhaps, of these older generations, dare I say. It's the new kids on the block, it's this new generation, how, like you've just said, how we've worked our way through, and you're just coming in. But then what you've got to try and imagine is a lot of the education for the millennials involve much more kind of work experience. The way that they were taught in universities involved a lot more employability skills early on, how to work with other people early on. And so you could argue that they have had a lot of those skills taught them earlier. So they are kind of ready to be in, to take that position in the workplace. And their opinions are just as valuable. Mm-hmm. And it's like this concept of that I talk about, this reverse mentoring, that actually we can all learn from each other. So just because you are older doesn't mean you necessarily know everything, and that this younger generation can actually maybe teach you something, or it can be like a collaboration. So it's about being a little bit more open-minded to just individuals. And I think we need to be careful not to generalize on just saying, oh, you're in that generation, so be it, because perhaps there are elements of laziness across all generations. It doesn't just have to be that generation. This can happen to all generations, if you like. So I think we need to be a bit more open-minded about it.
That is another thing they get tarred with, and you talked about the work hard, play hard generation. Mm-hmm. X, and I think the millennial generation have taught us a thing or two about taking that time apart from work and actually not when I say play hard, more relax hard or look for true balance rather than just burning the candle at both ends.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, definitely. And I think that's what Gen X was striving for, but millennials managed to do it. And and yeah, and just that whole honesty and integrity in the workplace and just being able to be honest with colleagues. And I think there's a huge agenda, as we know, on mental well-being now in the workplace. So I really think that employers are recognising that need to support all dimensions of their teams. It's not just about getting the task done. It's about embracing individuals, people's kind of skills and what each individual needs are as well. Because I think perhaps historically the workplace has been very kind of task driven. I mean, I guess I am generalizing now, because it depends on what work environment we're talking about. So obviously in some industries there still has to be a task culture where that work's got to be done, but I think it's becoming more apparent that if you can kind of look after your staff and if you can protect them, that you'll actually get more from them. And so actually it's quite productive if you can create that environment of managing and balancing both. This is what needs to be done, but let's look after your well-being as well, because that's equally as important. And I think that's coming through now in the later millennial surveys that Deloitte are doing, in that these individuals are recognizing that their employers are supporting them a lot more and feel loyal then to that employer.
Mm-hmm. Because that's something going through the generations, from your baby boomers who had jobs for life. And then I suppose as you've got your Gen X, started seeing sort of the breakdown of some sort of nationalisation in terms of some trades and industries where people moved around more. You had the millennials who again saw the workplace as somewhere they could move around and, you know, get experience and enjoyment from lots of different employers. And that was another thing that got thrown at them as well, you know, that they weren't loyal.
Yeah, it was. But interestingly, it literally hot off the press. The Deloitte do a survey. They've been doing it, I think it's since 2012. It's called the Deloitte Millennial Survey. And obviously in the last couple of years, they've included data on Generation Z. And due to the you know, the COVID pandemic hitting us at the beginning of this year, it actually halted their data gathering. So they've actually done it in two parts. And what's come from that is that there has been a massive change in the newer generation's expectations of their employers now. And they actually have switched to saying that they feel more kind of protective towards their employer. They feel as if they would like to stay around longer. They feel as if that they're recognizing that their employer will support them. And this is a huge appeal in terms of their loyalty. And so what this new report is saying is that they've actually, these generations are extremely resilient and extremely positive in the face of all this adversity that's around them. And it's quite interesting read, actually. You know, I recommend having a look at that report they've done.
So before we move on to Gen Z, recap all the positives for millennials, just to make sure that they are well represented. So we talked about the opportunity for reverse mentoring, they've got honesty, integrity to the workplace, highlighted well-being, pushed it forward a notch or two, resilient, positive, and loyal. So yeah, give them a go. They're not all bad. Moving on to Gen Z, what we're going to talk about today. These are our young people that are in university, coming out of university. You touched on it before, going through COVID at the moment. So these young people are going through, I hate to use the word, everyone uses it, unprecedented times. So first of all, how are they different to millennials? Because actually I've heard, I think I can't remember what it was on. It may have been TikTok, which I've only just got into because I'm old. some Gen Zers having a go at the millennials as well, so they're back in there, both angles.
Oh dear. Yeah, I've not heard of that. I've not heard of that, but I can imagine why. But then isn't it this whole I think it's because if ever I talk to people, I think that's because there was so much bad press about millennials that was put out there, a lot of anecdotal stuff, that I think people are like, whoa, I'm not a millennial. No, I'm. And I think that may be where the Gen Zs are coming from. They're saying, you know, actually, no, we are the new truly digital natives kind of thing. You know, we are, we don't want to be connected with you because of all this bad press, perhaps. So they're kind of almost coming in saying, no, look, we don't want any bad press about us. We are the true digital natives. We are the most connected and sophisticated generation yet. And they are, though. I mean, they are the most connected. And they can, you know, the rate at which information is coming at them is phenomenal. And so they're also very able to deal with that amount of information very quickly. They're very agile to that. They're very adaptable to that. Yeah, so I mean,
what does that mean in terms of a workplace setting? Because I understand exactly what you mean. Because if you spend more than an hour on social media or checking, I don't know, LinkedIn or articles or whatever it may be, you can very quickly feel like brain overload. But they've grown up in that environment, haven't they? So
yeah.
It's just the way they process information. Is it very different to the way that we would?
They're just very strategic about the information. So they're very quick at getting to the point. They're very quick at deciding what it is they need to do and getting on with it because they don't like wasting time. You know, again, I know I'm generalizing, but again, it comes from this concept that because of the technology, what they're used to, that they want to be adding value. They don't want to be wasting time. They have experienced being brought up by potentially the older millennial or Gen X, that they've witnessed a lot of their parents going through financial adversity. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to be like that. They want to make sure that they are secure, and they're kind of quickly seeking their way to ensure they've got that stability. So through education, through finding the right job, through wanting to stay at that job, because if they find the right place, they will be very loyal to that environment if they are supported enough. So in the workplace, I guess it just means that they are very also collegiate, but very good at getting to what they need to do quickly and, mm-hmm. and making the most of it, really.
That's interesting. I would think if you'd seen parents going through redundancy, you may have lost trust in, I suppose, employers and not be loyal to them. So it's interesting that it's actually the opposite.
It's the opposite if they find the right employer, must I add, because, how can I put it, they have witnessed that. So initially in some of these earlier surveys, they had a lot of distrust for certain companies. So the other huge agenda for this generation, as we know, is sustainability, mm-hmm. and seeking out employers that have very strong ethical values. And so I guess if they're then making those decisions, they're kind of almost using that trust in that decision and going for the ones that they feel they can trust, that these companies are being openly honest about their ethics and sustainability, and seeking out those types of organizations. So previously they would have responded that they didn't trust, that they did have a lot of trust issues with some companies. Mm-hmm. But what's come from this later survey is that they actually feel quite optimistic about the future, because they have a lot of hope with what this this catastrophe has actually opened up for them. So they actually feel they've got a stronger sense of individual responsibility, that they can actually make a difference, and that the world actually can be, you know, very different when we get through the other side of this.
And so we've seen them on the sustainability issue. I mean, sort of Greta Thunberg to really make things start moving, and the Extinction Rebellion, that's very much driven by a lot of Gen Z They're actually getting up and saying something, and not just posting an opinion on social media. They're actually getting up out the house and marching on the streets.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I think the key things really that is changing literally as we speak about this generation is that they believe that they can make a difference going forward. They feel as if they want to be part of that, and they've got an opportunity to be part of that. It has made them more financially kind of prudent, if you like, mm-hmm. with regards to what they need to do in terms of the finances. And yeah, interestingly, the loyalty is going to rise if the employer can offer that kind of inclusion of sustainability and kind of rewards in line with supporting well-being in the workplace. And I think quite a lot of staff surveys have said that of late, that staff have actually felt quite encouraged by this positive support that they've received while they've been working from home.
Mm-hmm. Their attitude to their job, is that different to previous generations? Do they see their job as something that they do that separate from their life, or is it something that is part of them?
I actually think in most of the research I've read, it's become it's almost all blended together, but they are able to compartmentalize it and take that time away. So it's almost like this generation have like ultimate flexibility. So it might be that if they're working on a project, they wouldn't think anything of spending the weekend on it because it's something they're enjoying doing, knowing that midweek they could go and off and do and take some leave, or they could integrate some kind of balance of activities around. So I think because information is so much more accessible and the opportunity to work flexibly in like a project environment means that it's actually quite motivational to work at all different hours. So I don't know if that actually answers that question or it leads on to slightly different thoughts.
I suppose everything that we've talked about is what they're looking for in an employer. Mm. And it is important for employers to look at the next generations and sort of prep those future leaders right now and bring them in. So we know as employers what we need to do.
Yeah.
At the moment, you know, we don't know what the next 6 to 12 months is looking like. And I know just with the student awards, for example, normally, you know, our shortlisted candidates would all have internships this summer, which we haven't been able to do for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking about graduate schemes that are coming up, whether those places will be available, because graduates do need to be in the workplace because you learn through listening to people, overhearing telephone conversations. So it's not always suitable to offer that sort of flexible approach to work, you know, if people do need to be in and young people listening to what's going on around them. And invariably there are some of the more basic tasks, or you do need to learn some more basic stuff in order to understand the more complex stuff. How do you manage that as a workplace? You want to retain these young people and train them, but there has to be a little bit of acceptance that you do need to be in the office and listening to people, and you do need to do some of the more basic tasks as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I can kind of obviously speak from my accountancy background, knowing that you've got to start somewhere, as you say, and you've got to learn the fundamentals of the industry you're in, and just the, like the whole kind of etiquette of being in an organization. And having talked to some of my students, whilst they obviously do appreciate having some kind of autonomy and, you know, regular feedback, I think they genuinely do want, or they do understand that they have to kind of start somewhere, and that they do need to learn the tricks of the trade, if you like. They need to know some of these basics and some of this experience that comes from those who've been in the business much longer. They definitely are looking to get that support. And I think it's more about inclusivity of activities, and I think it's more about the way you communicate with the team as a whole, and knowing that yes, some of the new employees do need to learn, but at the same time they can still be involved and have a say in some of the decisions, or they can be heard, if you like. I think from talking to my students, as long as they are heard and not just a case of just come in and get on with that kind of thing, they feel as if they're being empowered. They feel as if they are learning everything. They're kind of learning the basics, but they're learning how to integrate with some of the more strategic decisions of the business as well. And they kind of get in a bit of insight to that. And I think that can just happen by being very collaborative. It doesn't, you know, in terms of working together. Does that kind of answer that question? So I don't think this generation think, oh, I'm just going to go in there and kind of run the business from day one type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think there is an expectation of that learning levels, definitely. But I just do think it's important to kind of chunk that and type of, rather than saying, okay, get on with that for, I don't know, a long period of time. I think it's probably more important to sort of break up these activities, if you like, and give like regular feedback, because that feedback is really valuable, makes them feel part of the organization and that they're actually of value and they're not just getting on with a menial task necessarily.
And as you say before, they've grown up being bombarded with information about lots of different things, so it must be good multitaskers in that sense, in the fact that they can move from one job to another very easily and understand it, so may get a bit bored if they're doing one thing for too long.
Yeah, exactly that. But I think there is an understanding that there does have to be sometimes the rough with the smooth in any job. I mean, there's always some kind of mundane elements to, you know, even as you kind of get through the ranks, there's always going to be some kind of task that you think, oh, that I just, you know, that's a little bit more mundane. But ultimately, you know, again, it's about sharing ideas and everybody's voices should be heard in that respect then, shouldn't they? You know, everyone's got a contribution. It's like going back to the old Belbin team player and sort of saying, you know, what's your role in each group? And I think a good manager can kind of see this collaboration of ideas and knowing what kind of team to put together to work on a project by having this mix of skills as well. So it's about not necessarily thinking, oh, this is a new person, but, you know, it's more about, well, what skills does this person have and actually tapping into their skill set, really.
If you were to, I suppose, give one big advert for Gen Z and why businesses need to think about them, even sort of in the next 6 to 12 months where there is uncertainty, why would you say the workplace is better with them in it? What can they bring to a workplace that may not be there already?
Well, hopefully they can bring their innovation, they can bring their youth, their excitement. I mean, dare I say it, as we get older, do we get that kind of knocked out of us? They can bring some of that innocence, perhaps, that, you know, that different perspective, that vibrancy, that there's, you know, that spark, should we say. I'm not saying that, you know, your older generations lose the spark, but, you know, it might just re-inject that different way of thinking that we all can do with now and again. And, you know, I think it's like when you're around children and you see their enthusiasm for things and their kind of attitude for just getting on with something, and it's admirable. And you, I think we could learn from that.
Well, definitely. I've learned a new phrase there, the digital native. I haven't come across that before. So that's a really interesting phrase. But yeah, as you said, connected, sophisticated, they don't like wasting time, so they can get straight down to the core of it, and essentially they want to add value. Let's hope that, you know, the current situation doesn't last for too long and we can bring some of that vibrancy into the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that you're active on Twitter, so I encourage anyone to follow you, because I know that you do put out little snippets of information and links to articles on there, and they're always fascinating. So I'd recommend anyone to do that.
Yeah, great.
So yes, before we end the podcast, I've got into the habit now of asking all my interviewees if they were to choose a song that formed the soundtrack of their life, what would it be? So that's with Fiona.
Oh my goodness, this is such a hard question, isn't it? I mean, absolutely love music from all genres. I think if anything, it is my positivity. It'd have to be I think it's called Mr. Blue Sky, Yellow. You know, when you listen to that, it's definitely really upbeat and positive, and I feel as if I've always injected positivity throughout my life, so I reckon that has to be the one.
I nearly broke into it then, and then I remembered we were recording this. And
it can do. Well, I'll not do that. I don't have the right voice, no.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Fiona. It's been really interesting. I look forward to seeing what Gen Z can do.
Great, thank you very much for inviting me. I hope, yeah, let's just see what happens next. I mean, I think thinking about new generations, there's a famous quote by the author John Savage, who said, things aren't going to go back to normal. The young are going to play an active part in either destroying or creating a new world. So let's hope it's the latter.
Yeah. And so they should. We should always look to the young and learn from them. Reverse mentoring, that's another phrase I've learned, and I like it. So thank you very much. I should say before we sign off that you can subscribe to the Glenbrook podcast, which would be fantastic. And if you'd like to give feedback, it's always gratefully received. So thank you very much. And thanks, Fiona.
Great. Thank you very much.